My son ran away from home. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My son ran away from home. My son ran away from home. How many parents come and cry on my shoulder that their son has run away from home, or their daughter has run away from home. And they say, they run away from home, they run away from home. They're not old enough to do that yet. They're not 18. And even when they're 18, then they're not old enough. They shouldn't run away from home until they shouldn't ever run away from home. But they should leave when they're 25, when they get married or something, you know. Well, my son ran away from home. How often do we hear that? We received a letter from our friends in Italy, in Switzerland. And their son, Abramo, who was 3 years old when he went to the pyramids with us on a seminar tour, and he was astute enough to see many things that we didn't see. Well, now today, he's 29 years old, and he is a graduate of the university and a teacher in elementary schools in Switzerland, and a most remarkable young man. Well, he had a dream that he wanted to take a sea voyage in the South Sea Islands, but not only a sea voyage, he wanted to be on a small boat where just a few people were, and he wanted to take it between the different islands. And that is not a simple thing to do. It's a lovely thing, but it could be very dangerous. Squalls come up and weather comes up, and if you're not a seasoned seaman, you become a seasoned seaman quite quickly. You learn how to hold your tummy and how to hold your food in, and you learn how to do your task, because the sea doesn't say, okay, we'll wait while you get your stomach in order. Yeah, we'll wait while you get yourself in order. Well, his father was very happy for him to have the experience. But as he's having the experience, he's growing up even more. And he is finding that there are avenues of his being that he's never challenged, that he's never looked into. And he writes his parents about the various adventures that he's having, and not only the adventures, but the things that he does when he goes to a library and reads a book about sea and about all sorts of interesting things that delight him. And he writes to his parents about these things and how they illumine him and how they sparkle him. And his dad says, he's run away from home. He's running away from home because he's finding these adventures so exciting he may want to stay there. You know, well, his father is like any father, seeing his son going through those adventures. And the father would say, oh dear, if he just stayed home and done what I wanted him to do. My mother has always been a very wonderful woman and very supportive of me in all the adventures that I had taken, and I took a lot of them. And I was the associate editor of the Science of Mind magazine at the United Church of Religious Science in Los Angeles for a number of years. At the same time, I would fly to different churches and give the Sunday sermons for churches where the ministers were sick or unavailable or not there, and I'd take my mother along, and she'd fly with me, and she'd see how exciting these adventures were, and she'd see how exciting I felt about my job as the associate editor. And then one church wanted me to go and be permanent with them, and I said, well, maybe. And so I flew back and forth between El Central and headquarters, and the church wanted me to be with them all the time, but I wanted to have the dual role. And so I told my mom, I said, I think I'm going to take the church role. And my mom says, oh, don't do that. You're so well ensconced at headquarters, and you're so well liked, and you're such a, it's just a great thing, because there's a future for you there. And I said, thank you. And then I went on doing my thing. And I was invited to go to different churches and to represent the United Church Religious Science at many churches and to try to bring them into the fold and things like that. And they wanted me, but they didn't want to have the tradition. And so finally, I came to one point and I said, hey, I'm teaching another man's philosophy. I'm teaching another man's religion. And I've got to do my own thing. And so I quit the lucrative post that I had and went off to establish the University of Healing, because I wanted to establish it ever since 1948 when I'd been working on it, and it wasn't until now that I finally said, I'm just going to go out and do it full time. And so I quit everything and went to the mountains. Now, if my mother were still around, she had already passed. If she were still around, she'd say, see, you're going downhill, you're going downhill. But I was going uphill. And I wasn't running away from anything. I was running to something. I was running to my dream. And I didn't know what my dream was. I just knew that my dream was I had to be me. I had expressed myself in my own language. Oftentimes I go to INTA, and Ellen listens to my talks from INTA, and she says, Herb, that's not you. And I said, yeah, that's true. I'm giving a talk for INTA, not for me. And sometimes when she hears me give a talk at different churches, and these churches are a little different in their philosophy than ours, she says, Herb, that's not our philosophy. That's not what you teach. That's not who you are. And I find myself not being myself. I haven't completely run away from doing what other people would like done, at least what I think they'd like done, and being myself. If our child wants to run away, oh my, encourage him. Encourage him with all your heart. Don't support him, but encourage him. Because he's got to pay his own way. If you support him, you're going to be like the J. Paul Getty grandson. And the grandson wanted to run away from all his family's wealth and from all that and just be on his own and just do for himself and just pick up his own tab and do his own thing. And so he told his grandfather, I'm going to hitchhike around the world. I'm going to go on tramp steamers and so on. And his grandfather says, well, you go right ahead. Have a good time and do things that you want to do. That's just fine. But don't forget to take your credit card. I won't, Gramp. And so he took his credit cards. Well, he really didn't have to take his credit cards. All he had to do was say he is the grandson of J. Paul Getty, and everybody would have given him anything he wanted because they knew the name J. Paul Getty was worth paying its bills. But with a credit card, he really wasn't on his own. He always had that backup. He always had that strength. It's a wonderful thing how people do things, how people want to run away, they want to be themselves, they want to show their own ability to do whatever is for them to do. How often have you run away from anything? I would imagine every one of us has run away a number of times. I know personally of all of you and how you've run away from a number of different things, and when you ran away, then you came to me and you said, what am I going to do? And I said, well, face it. And so you faced whatever you were running away from. And when you faced it, you said, oh, piece of cake. No problem. But the running away was the adventure. The running away was the excitement. The running away was leaving behind all the former attitudes you had. Now, if I would run away from INTA, and I'd run away from all these churches that asked me to come and speak, and I would just go there and be me as I like to be me, I would probably have a very exceptional presentation. And the people would like me just as much, and they wouldn't necessarily invite me back because I wasn't talking their philosophy, but then that's not where I belong. I always belong doing one thing. Being me. You belong doing one thing, being you. You don't belong doing anything else under the sun except being yourself and having fun. And whenever you're not being yourself and having fun, it is better that you pluck out the other eye. It is better that you quit. It's better that you die. Some people die very early, and we wonder why they die. Well, they don't have the courage to go and be themselves. And so they just quit, because there's something in them that's driving them and saying, be yourself, go have fun, forget it. You don't owe anybody any responsibility, just be yourself. That's the responsibility. The only responsibility you have is to see the world you create as a wonderful, beautiful, fantastic world. But that's not what our parents teach us. Our parents teach us responsibility. We got to take care of our little brothers and sisters. We got to be our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. We have to be our family's keeper. We have to be the keeper of the world. And what an ugly thing to do to anybody. I think if parents could teach their children to be themselves and have fun, to really be themselves and have fun, the children would probably provide or would do something in the world that would be rather outstanding. The children would be like a great artist who has come out of his lack of expression to the fullness of his expression. The children would be like the great artists who have periods. They have their blue period, their red period, their different periods which represent they're coming out and finding themselves. And the painter is using broad, visible strokes. And then he sees an artist who does little tiny strokes and how significant they are and how fortuitous they are in bringing out all the attitudes that the artist wants to bring out. And so you try to that. And then you try another, you see a fellow who's doing circle painting, and on YouTube, it's often interesting to watch a YouTube that comes up, you don't know what's going to happen, and here is this person who is on stage, and before him are several hundred McDonald's hamburgers. Big, juicy hamburgers. And he's got all these hamburgers. And so he reaches over and he takes the hamburger and he starts rubbing it against a big sheet of paper, which is quite tall. It's maybe 10, 15 feet tall and about 8 or 9 feet across. And he starts at the bottom and he's making this greasy expression on this piece of paper, and you have no idea what it's going to be. And he keeps working away, and then he gets a sort of platform, he raises himself up, so he gets a little higher, and he goes up. And you just have no idea what's coming off, because it looks like nothing. And it's several tones, but it's not colors, it's just tones. It's just a tone of heavier grease or lighter grease. And then when he finishes moving the hamburgers around on the piece of paper, he throws it on the floor and a dog comes and starts eating them. And so a little distractions, but he keeps going. Well, after a considerable time, he works himself up to the top. And what do you see but a beautiful rendition of the Mona Lisa? Absolutely flawless in every way. The right dimensions, the right size, everything is in balance, yet this man started from base nothing, and no one knew what was coming, and he didn't have lines drawn behind, I don't think, and to keep him in motion with what he had it in his mind. Now, if his mother, if anyone ever told his mother he was going to become a painter with hamburgers, his mother would say, my God, what has happened to my son? And the father would say, I think the loony bin is where you belong, boy. And they would not have believed that this boy, who was a full-sized man, who was creating with hamburgers, could do such an outstanding job. And take, for instance, the young man, or there are probably several of them, who paints on the sidewalks of London. Oh, yeah. And things like that. and does the most, and even New York City, paints the most beautiful paintings and paints it in 3D. Mm-hmm. You look at it and you think the painting actually is standing there and things like that. And you look like you're looking down through a hole in the ground and you can see the city down below. It's a most amazing bit of work. Now, where this fellow gets the original concept from, where he gets a copy of the idea, it only is from his mind. Now, if you told this boy's mother that he was going to be just painting pictures on the street, she would say, "Oh dear, what has become to him? I'd like him to become a great artist." Well, he became a greater artist than most artists who painted properly, but he painted most ingeniously. We should encourage our children to run away. We should encourage them to follow their dream, to chase after it. Maybe it takes them to sea. Maybe it takes them up a mountain. Maybe it takes them into the city. Maybe it takes them into terrible places or into delightful places. But the work that we have to do is the work of creating values in our family and ourselves. Do you have values? Do you teach your children your values? Are your values honesty, integrity, sincerity, purity, and goodness? Are these the values that you are and that you teach your family? If you do, and your child ever chooses to run away, you can be sure they'll take those values with them, and those values will be the wheels on which they ride through the adventures of life. You watch. You watch. Every child is an expression, is a reflection of the parent. As much as a parent might like to disavow that fact, it is true. Every child is a reflection of the parent. Every husband is a reflection of the wife, and every wife is a reflection of the husband. Every being on earth is a reflection of the person who is doing the observing. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter where it is. The eye that sees is the same eye that beholds. And so anyone who sees you and you see them, you're looking both out of the same eye. You're looking out of the eye of your mutual divinity. If anyone in our family ever wants to run away, including ourselves, right now, today, in our maturity, if we want to run away, create the world encouraging us to run away. Create the world encouraging us to follow our dream. Create the world to encourage us. And then we'll take this little Grandma Moses, this rather limited education hillbilly who lived in a rural area, and she would just paint little pictures. She'd just paint little pictures, and she painted them and had stacks of them all over the house and never did anything with them. People saw them occasionally, and she said, "Would you like it?" And give it. And so then a critic saw it one time, and he says, "My God, this is a primitive art. Beautiful. Well done." And so he took a bunch of them and put a showing on, and overnight she became an instant celebrity. She continued doing her primitive paintings, but now she was a celebrity. Now they brought her great money. Now here she was in her 80s when she did that. And who would have ever thought that this woman, who is always diddly-daddly painting on that childlike paint style, primitive art, you know, however they want to call it, and that one day it would spark into life and become great. They say of most great artists and great sculptors and painters, they have to wait until they die to become famous. Well, that wasn't true of Michelangelo, or Leonardo da Vinci, or a bunch of other exquisite artists, but many it was. They had to die first before their work, whether it was a book or a painting or whatever, became famous. Well, let's not die before we come off with some trick that is going to demonstrate some magic within us, such as painting like Grandma Moses does, or such as storytellers. We have John Charles Daney, who has been one of my most fighting students, and he complained about everything, and little by little he did the courses. Little by little he became a minister. Little by little he did it. Now here it is years later, and he wants to go on and finish his doctoral work. And what does he want to do? He wants to finish his doctoral work. Well, here he is years later, and he wants to finish his doctoral work. So what did he write to us? He said, here's my check for $3,000 for the basics of the course. Please send me the course so I can get going right away. I'm going to take a retreat, and I'm going to apply myself to this 100% because I'd like to get the most I can out of it. Well, wonderful. Wow. Now, who would have ever dreamed that he would want to apply it in some special way? How would he have ever dreamed? And I have a feeling that somewhere along the pathway that John Charles Daney is going to do what he is really talented in doing, and that is in being a storyteller. And he is going to start storytelling from the philosophy that he is learning and applying in his life in such a beautiful way that he will become the great philosopher storyteller of our time. And it doesn't matter whether he is heard around the world or whether he's heard on local areas or whether he's only heard by groups who come and hear him. His fame will spread so quickly once he polishes the last areas of his little gem of being the philosophical, metaphysical storyteller of the age. Who knows? Who would know that he was going to continue in that particular way? He ran away from home. I released him. Where he went, who knows? All of my students run away from home. They go off and start their own churches, and they go off and start their own activities wherever they may be. And some of them forget who they are, and then they remember later. And then when they remember, then they start applying who they are, and they are magnificent. Never fear for anybody at any age who runs away from home, because that's their moment of trying their wings, of reaching out to be the magic that they are. And you might consider it for yourself. Are you ready to run away and be who you are? Or can you be who you are right where you are? Or what must you do to let go and let that magic in you come forth and make you noteworthy? Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.